to you. Some maybe not so familiar. These are words in Isaiah that were fulfilled in Jesus. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And then this, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Nations will come to your light. We are the nations. Most of us, I suspect, I don't know if there are any Jews among us today, but of course this was spoken originally to Jews. We are the nations, and here we are coming 2,000 years after. That was written 700 years before, 2,000 years after. Here we are coming to the light of the world, who's come into the world in the person of Jesus. So let's give thanks, let's celebrate, let's sing his praise. We're going to begin by singing, well, it's not, there's no winter snow, but it's poetic license, see amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below. Just before we pray, last night at the watch night service, just at the end there, I was standing at the door And there was about five 20-year-olds, early 20-year-olds, around the 20-year-olds, all about 6'3", just in a circle there. It's like I didn't go and stand in the middle of it. It would have been like standing in the land of giants. But the thought struck me as I watched those five up there. I just thought, isn't it amazing that Jesus, who's just the eternal Son of God, heaven and earth could not contain him, and yet he became small, tiny, that he could fit in a manger, weak, vulnerable, helpless, our God, come among us, the dawning of redemption. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we seek to humble ourselves before you, our great God, our gracious God, God who in your Son, Jesus, has stooped so low, come so humbly among us in such weakness, in such frailty, and in yet in such wonder, in such glory, and above all, in such grace, that he who was rich beyond our understanding or imagination became poor for our sakes, that we, through his poverty, might become rich beyond our wildest dreams. We thank you again together as we gather as a family of your people from different places, Lord, different circumstances, but thanking you that in Jesus we have a Savior born to us, one who has come into our world, a world that he could rightly condemn, but came not to do that, but to save, to rescue, to reveal God in all his fullness, and indeed to bring us back to him. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are willing to travel so far, far from your home, that you are willing to become homeless, that we one day again through your grace might come home to the God who made us. And so we pray in all that grace you would meet us here this morning. We remember that you are there, no longer that child in the manger, but the risen, reigning, and one day returning King, sat this morning at the right hand of the Father, but able to be present here by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so do presence yourself among us. Do speak to us, we pray. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we may offer to you something at least of a worthy sacrifice of praise. Hear us, help us. Cleanse us, Lord. You'll know us. You'll know some of the things that have gone on in our hearts, our homes this morning, anything that would accuse us, condemn us. We bring them to you. That's why you came. That's why you are given the name Jesus, that you might save your people from their sins. And so we pray that you would do that amongst us again today. And to your name and to that of the Father and the Spirit be glory, honor, and praise, world without end. Amen. Well, we're going to read another of Isaiah's prophecies, and Linda's going to read it for us.
Isaiah 9, verse 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. and forever. Amen.
Okay, well, having read that, listened to it, we thought we might sing it as well. I'll not bother Tori, I'll try and do this myself, okay? So everybody, yeah, not everybody will know this, but those who do, this is for To As a Child Is Born actions. I will try to give you the actions with the lead, as it were, and you do the actions and sing back to me. I know some of you are blank because you haven't seen this before, but others of you are not blank because you know what's coming. So if you stand now, you'll listen to the guy. And I know we have a couple from Australia who really we're delighted to have, and you'll recognise an Australian accent here. Boom doop doop 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 boom doop doop. Aye, 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 Isaiah 9:6.
Aye, 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 Isaiah 9:6.
For to us a child is born.
For to us a child is born.
For to us a son is given.
For to us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders.
The government shall be upon his shoulders.
And he shall be called.
And he shall be called.
Wonderful Counselor.
Wonderful Counselor.
Mighty God.
Mighty God.
Everlasting Father,
Everlasting Father,
Prince of Peace,
Prince of Peace.
Isaiah 9:6. Come on.
Isaiah 9:6.
Again. Isaiah 9:6. Go.
Isaiah 9:6.
For to us a child is born.
For to us a child is born.
For to us a son is given.
For to us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders.
The government shall be upon his shoulders.
And he shall be called.
And he shall be called.
Wonderful Counselor.
Wonderful Counselor.
Mighty God.
Mighty God.
Everlasting Father.
Everlasting Father.
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
Isaiah 9:6. Come on.
Isaiah 9:6.
Again. Isaiah 9:6. Go.
Isaiah 9:6.
Well done. Okay, well, as we read from Isaiah about the nations coming to Lord Jesus, we're going to read again a story that's familiar from Matthew, which kind of is a fulfillment of that. Here's the story of the wise men coming. That's who we're thinking a wee bit about today. We've been thinking about witnesses to Jesus' birth. And so we're going to read from Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Remember, these men are not Jews, they're Gentiles. So let's listen to God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Okay, it's always good to see some of the boys and girls. I don't know if anybody got anything today. Did anybody get anything? Anybody want to come and show anything they got? Or tell me about anything? Oh, yeah, no, please do come. Yeah, please. You're allowed? I know, scary man. Anybody want to come? Oh, fantastic. Evie, let me see this. Great. Alan. Yes. Come on, Nina. Yes. Great. What have we got, Connor?
A watch.
A wonderful watch. And who's this?
A big bunny.
A big bunny. I know who that is. That's Paddington, isn't it? Oh, fantastic. Great. What else? Oh, Rudolph the Red. Oh.
A boat that goes really fast in the bath.
A boat that goes really fast in a bath. What? That's what you want, isn't it? Now, who's that? Is it? I'll take your word for that. Okay. He's great. I love him. Do you want him back? Yeah. And a guitar. Can you play? Can you give us a wee tune? No. That's great, but you'll learn, won't you? What have you got, Harper?
A light.
A light, a torch, and Rory. Wonder, look at that. Wow. Look at that. Great. Anybody else? Aaron, do you want Paddington back? Yes. There we go. Well, that. Tell me, Connor, what else?
A remote control car.
Yeah. Did you? Great. Well, you'll have great fun, will you? Good. Okay, well, listen, it's lovely to see you, and we're going to think a little bit about the presence that those wise men brought to Jesus in a minute, because that's one of the reasons why we give presents, because those were the first presents, weren't they? Right. So, but before that, we're going to sing again together a song. Sing your praises. Sing to God on high, because it's Christmas. Okay? Leave your cares behind. Okay? You're going to go back down and sit? Okay. Good. Good. Thank you. Okay. You going back, Nina? Good girl. Okay, let's stand and try and sing this together.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and a very happy Christmas. I'm just going to speak a little bit more about that reading that we heard this morning. This is our first Christmas in Inverness, and we're really enjoying being able to celebrate and worship together with a new church family, and I guess see some of the similarities, but also some of the differences in celebrating Christmas in a different place. But one of the other things that it means for us is that this Christmas is going to involve a journey, and we're going to head off after the service down to East Lothian to be with our parents and celebrate Christmas with them as well. Quite often Christmas is a time of journeys, and quite a lot of people end up traveling at Christmas to be with the people that they are celebrating with or sharing Christmas with. You might have traveled to get here this weekend. I was wondering about having a wee competition, but when I heard there's people from Australia here, I think we might have some winners already. As David was saying, we've been thinking through Advent, and especially, I guess, over the last weekend, about some of the witnesses to the first Christmas. And as I was thinking back, I guess, over these people that we've met, that we've come across, I was realizing that actually quite a few of them went on journeys. Quite a lot of the Christmas story involves journeys. So I thought that might be a good way for us just to kind of look again at some of the people that we've met over the last few weeks and think especially about the wise men this morning. So it was really nice to see some of your presents. I've got one of my presents on already, my new Christmas socks, not Christmassy, but Land Rovers, which are one of my favourite vehicle. If you can't have the actual thing, you might as well have a pair of socks. But I've got some presents here this morning, and I thought I could maybe get some people out to help me to open some of these presents. Would anyone be up for opening more presents? Oh, we've got a volunteer already. Good morning. Now, I'm really looking for a boy and a girl. Oh, is that perfect? Well done. Okay. Is that a boy and a girl? Sorry. Sometimes it's hard to tell at a young age. Right, would you guys like to open that present for me? Would that be okay? Do you think you can do it? Go for it. Can you do it here? Brilliant. Let's see what's in this first present. Good work. Yeah, you can help. That's good. See what you can find. Do you know what they are? Do you know what that is? What is it? It's not baby wipes. Very close. What's the other thing you need when you're changing a baby? Nappies, that's right, it is nappies. Do you think you could hold them for me? They're quite heavy, sorry. Do you want to come and stand next? What's your name, sorry? Mary, is it? Well, that's excellent. That's worked out perfectly. What's your name?
Abraham.
Oh, wow. That's close enough. Do you want to stand next to her? Okay, well, do you know who might have needed nappies in the first Christmas story? Yeah, baby Jesus, but who would have been changing his nappy? Who do you think? His mum. Do you know what his mum's name was? Mary, that's right. And his dad's name was? Joseph. So could you guys be my Mary and Joseph? Would that be okay? Good. Okay, so Mary and Joseph, do you know what journey they did? Maybe someone else could help you out with that. Maybe some of the older boys and girls. Can anybody remember what journey Mary and Joseph did on the first Christmas? Go on, Jamie. From Nazareth to Bethlehem, that's right. They did quite a long journey, probably 95 to 100 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, probably quite a difficult journey, especially because Mary was expecting a baby. But I was also thinking that their journey was really a journey. I've got a wee, let's see if these, I need to find out which one I've got. Oh, they're in the right order, that's amazing. Their journey was really a journey of faith, because they had to really trust God. Could you hold that from Abraham? Would that be okay? If you could hold it that way, then everybody could see it. That'd be great. Amazing. They really had to trust God. They had to trust God that Mary's baby was who God said it was, who the angel had said it was. They also had to trust God that he would provide for them. When they left Nazareth, they didn't know where they were going to end up in Bethlehem. And in the end, it came quite close, didn't it? There was almost no room for them, and they really had to trust that God would provide a place for that baby to be born. And also they had to trust that God would protect them. Quite quickly after Jesus was born, they found out that actually not everybody was going to welcome Jesus. And actually they had to run away, they had to flee to Egypt, and they had to trust God's protection over them and over their baby. So they had a journey of faith. They had to trust, to learn to trust God. Okay, who else would like to open a present this morning? Is there anyone else? Oh, you guys, excellent. Perfect. Right, you guys open this one, see what's in there. No mercy on the wrapping paper there. Good. What is that?
Teddy bear.
It's not a teddy bear.
Teddy sheep.
It's a sheep, yeah. Who had sheep in the first Christmas story? Not the wise men, no. The shepherds. Yes, the shepherds had sheep. And what journey did the shepherds do?
Wait, are you asking me how long?
No, not how long, just where. Where did they go from and to? Where did they start?
A field?
Yeah, they were up in the hills, weren't they? Outside a town. And where did they go to?
Jerusalem.
Not quite Jerusalem.
Bethlehem,
that's right. They went from quite a short journey, wasn't it? We think they were just outside Bethlehem in the fields and the hills outside Bethlehem. And they went running down into the town to find out if what the angel had said was true. And so their journey was a journey of discovery. They heard the amazing announcement of the angels, and off they went. They ran to find Jesus, to find if what the angels had told them was true. And when they found them, they found Mary and Joseph and Jesus exactly as the angels told them, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then they went away and they told lots of other people. They told lots of other people that what they could discover. They encouraged them to discover Jesus as well. So theirs was a journey of discovery. Okay, I've got one more present. Who would like to come and open my last present? Connor, excellent. Are you coming too, Harper? I'm going to give this one to Connor and Harper. Is that okay? Do you want to come over here, guys? See if you guys can open that one between you. Take your time. It's not a gun. It's a telescope. Well done. Now, who in the first Christmas story might have had a telescope, do you think? What do you do with a telescope? What do you look at? You look at the sky? Anything particular in the sky? You look at space. Who might have looked at space in the first Christmas story? Does anybody want to help them out? Who might have been looking at space, Kenny? The wise men, that's right. Yeah, because what was their journey? Can you remember what did they follow on their journey? You can remember what they followed. We heard it in the reading this morning that we read from Matthew. What did they follow? Anthony's got at the back. A star, that's right. They followed a star. So they might have had something. I'm not sure they would have a telescope like this, but they might have had something like that. Do you guys want to stand up and hold that for me? That'd be great. So they might have had a star. And I don't know if you were listening to the reading this morning, but I hope you were. Does anybody remember why they said they'd traveled on their journey? When they got to Jerusalem, they told the people in Jerusalem and King Herod what they'd come to do. Do you remember, Kenny? They'd come to find, the king, and they said something specific that they wanted to do. Oh, I heard somebody say it there. Is that you, Connor?
No.
You said it? No. Worship. That's what I thought I heard. They came to worship. Theirs was a journey of worship. Could you hold that for me, Harper? And that's what I'd just like us to think about a little bit more this morning, this third journey, the journey of the wise men, the journey of worship, because I think it's something that's always, whenever I've thought about it, it's something that's always really challenged me, that these wealthy, important, intelligent men bowed down before a small child and worshipped him. I think it's quite amazing when you think about it. It's not, they weren't in a palace, There wasn't people around them that maybe expected them to do that. They hadn't been told that they needed to do that. They were just in an ordinary house in Bethlehem, probably just with Mary and Joseph. But that's what they'd come to do. That's what they chose to do first when they saw Jesus. Like Mary and Joseph, they'd exercise faith by following the star and trusting God's promises from the Old Testament. And like the shepherds, they'd discovered and recognized who Jesus was. The wise men had recognized what I think the Gospels want us all to recognize, that Jesus isn't an ordinary child, but he's the only child who has ever been born, the only person who has ever lived who is worthy of our worship. They recognized the uniqueness of Jesus, of who he was, who he is, and what he came to do. And so they responded. We don't know exactly what they did, but I think in awe, in wonder, in humility, in surrender, they responded to the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Savior of the world, who stood before them. And because Jesus is God the Son, he accepted their worship. Just like he accepted the worship of the disciples when he walked on water, just like he accepted the worship of the women when he was raised from the dead, and the disciples again when he ascended into heaven. And I think this can really help us to think about how we can respond to the Christmas story, because worship is a response. In fact, all of this is a response. Our discovery, like the shepherds, our faith that we can put in Jesus, and our worship is a response to the greatest journey of Christmas, the journey that Jesus himself made. Jesus is the one who traveled the furthest, and Jesus is the one who gave up the most at Christmas. He gave up the riches and glory of heaven to be born in that humble stable. He gave up a place at the Father's side so that he might come and dwell among us. He gave up the perfect holiness of heaven to come face to face with the darkness and the sin of this world. He traveled the furthest, and he gave up the most. And I need one more volunteer. This is not for a present, but is there one more person to be willing to come up and hold something for me? Oh, James Norman, excellent. You do come and stand. Maybe you could stand in the middle here. I'll get James Norman to do it. Is that okay? Because Jesus' journey was a journey of love. I'll stand behind you guys. You see, it was out of his great love, out of the Father's great love, that he sent his Son in the power of the Spirit. And it's a journey that continued from the stable all the way to the cross. And it's his great love that enables us to discover Jesus, to have faith in Jesus, and to worship Jesus. We are made to worship, and I think we will always worship something. But God really wants us to see that it's he alone who truly deserves and is worthy of our worship. God wants us to recognize who Jesus is, like the wise men. He wants us to put our faith in him, and he wants us to come and worship him in relationship with him. A relationship where we live in awe and wonder of who he is and what he's done. He's our perfect creator, and he's our gracious savior. And be humbly surrendered to him who is our God and our King. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Or again, in his letter to the Philippians, he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I'd really encourage you today, among all the people and all the presents, whether it's for the first time or for the 100th time, to bring your personal worship to Jesus, to come before him in awe and wonder at who he is and what he's done for you, to thank him and praise him, and to humbly surrender to him, to respond to his coming to earth as your Savior. Amen. Thank you very much, guys. You've been a big help. You stood very well and held up all your things very well. Do you want to pass them back, and then you can go and find your seats? And I think we're going to sing another song, which is one I don't know, but from the title, I think it's going to be a good way for help us think about this a little bit more. It's called "Lord, You Are Rich Beyond All Splendor." I'm going to try and tidy up.
Just sit for a moment. We're going to conclude our service in a minute with a very well-known carol, but I wanted us just to pause for a moment just to pray, and to pray particularly, some of you will know that we've been taking a retiring offering at our Christmas services for particularly for the folks of the Middle East, in Gaza, in Lebanon, disasters emergency appeal there. And I would like us just in a moment to remember our fellow Christians in Bethlehem today, Palestinian Christians who won't be able to publicly celebrate, haven't been able publicly to celebrate Christmas, and also to remember something like 150, I think it is, Christians in Gaza who have really spent the last 14 months living just in a church building. I don't suppose it's as nice as this one, but that's in Bethlehem in particular. They have a nativity scene where they have a doll, Jesus, on a pile of rubble, just to illustrate the situation for Christians there. And that's the kind of world that Jesus came into and was born into, to bring hope, to bring light. So let's just pray for these folks and pray for ourselves just for a moment. Lord God, you have given us so much to give thanks for, to reason to worship you and to worship your Son, and we gladly do that, Lord, and give you thanks for all your good gifts to us. But we remember again, Lord Jesus, that it was into a broken world that you came, that you were born, and we particularly pray, especially for our fellow Christians in Bethlehem and in Gaza today. Those on the West Bank, those in Gaza, those two in Lebanon, we pray for them, Lord. We ask that they may know in the midst of that ongoing conflict there, that so much in terms they know of poverty, of need, of want, of loss, the loss of loved ones, friends, family. Lord Jesus, meet them and be that light which shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Lord, bring your hope, bring your healing, bring, we pray, into these lands those who will be ministers of peace, of reconciliation. Help those who are seeking to bring aid in various forms into these places. Lord, hear our cries and hear the cries of your people there. And indeed, in many other places, we could go to many other places. We think of Ukraine and so on. Lord, hear the cries of your people across our broken world and bring the light of the hope of the birth, not just the birth, but the dying, the rising, and the promise of the return of Jesus the Savior. Hear us, Lord, and go with us, we pray, into our own homes, into our own hearts. We pray that we may be found among those who worship you and give you the glory and praise. Hear us then, for we ask in your name and for your sake. Amen. Okay, well, as I say, we've been taking a retiring offering. If anybody wants to give to that, it's at the door there. That's for the Disaster Emergencies Relief Fund, particularly for the Middle East there. Well, let's conclude by singing these wonderful words, O come, all ye faithful. Thank you. we say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.